Omega. Some churches use an insignia called Kairo, which is the first two letters in the Greek for Jesus Christ, and they put that up as a symbol. Angela mentioned before that we don't have stained glass windows, and that's true, but if you go to some of the older churches and you look at the stained glass windows, there's some great symbols in those windows. And those symbols, for instance, some will display a chalice with Christ holding it, signifying the Last Supper. Some will have a stained glass of the resurrection and all. Those are real good things for us to just stop for a moment and say, God, you did this. You did this. The problem is we tend to have short memories. Isn't that true? Not only do we have short memories, we get so caught up in the day-to-day stuff of life. We can have a symbol staring in front of us, and we won't even give it a thought too many times. God knew that this was going to be our propensity, if you will. And right at the outset, right from the Exodus, as God is now forming this nation, and he says that he wants them to remember his mighty hand, remember his grace, remember his holiness, remember his great act of deliverance. He wants the Hebrews to remember this. And so read along with me in chapter 13 of Exodus. It'll be up here if you don't have your Bibles today. We're going to take a moment to read the Word of God. The Lord says to Moses, consecrate to me every firstborn male, the first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether human or animal. And of course, that was in remembrance of the Exodus, because on that night, you remember that the firstborn in every household where the blood of the lamb was not displayed, was taken as a judgment for disobedience to God. So many Egyptians lost their firstborn. And God often calls Israel as a nation his firstborn. And so there's something sacred about the firstborn. And here's the way this happens. Look at the next verse with me. It says, then Moses said to the people, commemorate this day, the day you came out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, because the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand. Eat nothing containing yeast. And as he's giving these directions, I want you to picture for a moment. We only have one child, but for those of you who have many, and you have a firstborn, every day you look on the firstborn should remind you of God's great grace and his deliverance. It applies, we need visual reminders. We need to say, okay, Lord, you have blessed me with a firstborn. And by the way, the way the firstborn human or male or animal was redeemed was with a sacrifice of a lamb, or a family was poor with a pigeon. That's what Mary and Joseph did with Jesus, if you remember, when they dedicated him in the temple. So Moses is saying, I want you to keep remembering this great day. Don't forget, it says in verse 4, today in the month of Aviv, you are leaving. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, the land he swore to your ancestors to give to you, a land flowing with milk and honey, you are to observe this ceremony in this month. So God is setting up here a festival, a ceremony to celebrate every year as a reminder of his grace, of his great deliverance, of his holiness, of his character. When was the last time you meditated on the character of God? I probably don't do it often enough. Maybe you don't either. But when you start to meditate on the character of God, I'm talking about his attributes and, you know, who he is, you can't help but come away awestruck and in wonder, knowing who he is, knowing him personally through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And although God sets this up once a year, if you remember our Lord Jesus, when he instituted the Lord's Supper at that Passover, he told his disciples, do this often in remembrance of me. Why do he tell his disciples that? Because we forget. We forget. He starts to set up a pattern here that I think may be helpful to you and me. By the way, the unleavened bread, the reason for the unleavened bread was twofold. In the Exodus, they made bread for that meal on that night of the Passover. And, you know, if you make bread and you use yeast, it takes time to rise. They didn't have that time, so they did away with the yeast. And yeast became a symbol in the Old Testament of sin. You know how little yeast can make a whole bread loaf? Don't do what I did. My mother used to make pizza from scratch, you know, with the she made the dough and all, and the dough had to rise. Right? I come in from playing, and I put my finger in it, and it would go down, and immediately I got a flip-flop in the back of my head. But yeast became a symbol of sin in the camp, and, you know, when there's sin, it acts like yeast sometimes, doesn't it? It infects. And left unchecked, it will keep on infecting. And so, to this day, the Passover and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread are very closely linked. And if you know a Jewish family getting ready to celebrate the Passover, they will make sure there's no yeast in the house. They will just take yeast out of the house, and the house will be yeast-free actually for 7 days. Just as a symbol of saying, we want to forsake sin with God's help. A symbol. How yeast could be a symbol. He goes on to say in verse 7, eat unleavened bread during those 7 days. Nothing with yeast in it is to be seen among you, nor shall any yeast be seen anywhere within your borders. That was pretty strict, huh? On that day, tell your son, I do this because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. Excuse me. This observant will be for you like a sign, on your hand and a reminder on your forehead. For this law of the Lord is to be on your lips. For the Lord brought you out of Egypt with his mighty hand. You must keep this ordinance and at the appointed time, year after year. Let me finish this passage out with you, and I'll go over some concepts in here that I think might help. It says, after the Lord brings you into the land of Canaan and gives it to you, as he promised your ancestors, you are to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. All firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. Redeem with a lamb the firstborn, every firstborn donkey. Now, donkey was considered an unclean animal. Okay, and the only way that could be used as a beast of burden was if it was redeemed by the blood of the lamb. But if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Redeem every firstborn among your sons. In the days to come, when your sons ask, what does this mean? Say to him, with a mighty hand, the Lord has brought us out of the land of slavery. When Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed the firstborn of both people and animals in Egypt. This is why I sacrifice to the Lord the first male of every offspring and every womb and redeem each of my firstborn sons. And it will be like a sign on your hand, a symbol on your forehead, that the Lord has brought us out with a mighty hand. Now, as I read that to you, you know, we say, okay, does that apply only to the Hebrews in Israel? No, I think the concepts are transferable to us. Right? I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to sit in on a Passover dinner with a Jewish family. It's a great thing to do. if you're able to do that. And you see the rich symbols in that dinner that point to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we celebrate the Lord's table, you know, we have a chance once a month to remember. But I think God sets up a pattern here, and I want to put it up on the board for you. I'll go through the words first. Joey's got the PowerPoint, or Emily? Okay, here we go. Keep going. First is to remember. Now, when we remember, it's to really remember and focus what God has done. And I'm not just talking about what he's done today or yesterday, but even focus back on some other things of what he has done. And not that you want to, again, worship the past or live in the past, but we need to be reminded sometimes of what God has done in the past. If I can use an example physically of some reminders of how God might have pulled you through some circumstances, any of you who have had major surgery and you look at the scars, you see, you're reminded of what the Lord has done. Isn't that true? For some of us, it could be other symbols of reminders. And even as a congregation, we need to take time and just remember what the Lord has done. So I know it's going to be difficult to flip, but if we can flip, we put together some pictures to remind us of what God has done in his great grace. You remember that? That's Sean's gym next door. That's when we used to meet in there. We used to have to take down the bags every week, wash the blood off the walls, and use about a can of Lysol spray. But that's how God chose to start us off, right? Okay, next one. Couple of more pictures. And you got a handsome guy coming here. There's Angelo reminding us that we can worship anywhere, right? Even in a gym. Okay. And then God opened up this unit. This unit was occupied by a psychic. I don't know how many of you remember that. It was occupied by a psychic. And previously before that was a group of people who called themselves a church, but they had a different gospel. And this is what it looked like when we came in. Keep going. That was the hallway that was here. If you don't remember it, keep going. That was the little kitchenette in the back. Keep going. That was the carpet that smelled. Do you remember that? Sometimes we need those smells to remind us, don't we? All right. Go ahead. We had that sign in the window, and we're still a work in progress. We are a work in progress, Crossbridge Community Church, and so is our building. Keep going. There's Joy and Melissa doing some painting as God provided and was gracious enough to get this facility. Keep going. That's me in the gym, back in the gym. I don't know how that snuck in there, but keep going. That's it? Okay. That's right. We were still in the gym while we were renovating here. In fact, on Father's Day, we will be starting our fifth year as a church, because that's when we moved in here. Okay. But we need to remember from where God has taken us. And, you know, because we get complacent. I had a pastor's meeting 2 weeks ago, and I was talking with a pastor who went through the building process. You know, they were meeting in a storefront. They had this big building campaign. They put up a very nice building up in Tom's River. And I asked him how things were going. And he said to me, well, he said, Pastor, I'm a little bit disturbed. And I said, why is that? He said, it seemed like when we put up the building, everybody just said, we're done. He says very little come out to prayer meeting anymore. There's very little praising about God's faithfulness. Having been through a couple of building programs, I can relate to what he says. And reason for that is we fail to remember where we came from. Even in our own salvation, how when God saved us, we forget what he saved us from. That for most of us, if we kept going the way we were going, we were on a path of destruction. And God saved us from ourselves. He saved us from the penalty of sin, saved us from eternal damnation, and secured our place in heaven. We need to remember. As we remember, one of the greatest ways to remember is not only looking at the symbols, but to read God's word, to be reminded of his promises, to remember his promises. So if you can go to the next one. I have remember and celebrate. Remember should drive us to God's word and his promises for us. Yesterday, at Nick's graduation, we heard this quote from Philippians 4, or Philippians or Colossians. Angela, you can correct me. Colossians. He who has begun a good work in you shall complete it. That wasn't written really to an individual. That was written to a church. He who has done a good work in us will complete it as long as we are faithful and follow us. We need to be driven back to Scripture to remember the promises of God. As we remember the promises of God, the Spirit of God works in our heart, and there should be a spirit of repentance that comes. And as we repent of things from which we need to repent and confess, we receive God's forgiveness. That's what he promised us. We need to remember that too. And then we come together and celebrate. I'll say this as gently as I can. In the conservative end of the evangelical church, we tend to be bumps on a log. We don't know what it is to celebrate. You realize that weddings in the Old Testament, or in Jesus' time actually, the celebration lasted 7 days. Can you imagine that? Dads, can you imagine paying for a 7-day reception? Yeah. The lessons, but they knew how to celebrate. And you realize that these people weren't rich. They didn't make a wedding a media event. They made it a sacred event, and they celebrated it. What are some other things we might celebrate of reminders of God's goodness? Certainly, hopefully, we celebrate our anniversaries. Birthdays. How about the day you came to the Lord? The birth of a child. What else can we celebrate? I'm sorry? The changes of every season. The variety. Sobriety. Thank you. Sobriety. Absolutely. There's so many things. And what happens many times is we get beat up in life and we don't even take time to remember. We stop celebrating. And we become grumpy people. We need to remember, be driven back to the Word, repent from those things that the Spirit of God and the Word of God tells us, and celebrate. Celebration should lead to worship. Okay? Worship. That's why we come here every Sunday. It should be an overflow of what God has done through the week. In our lives, it should be a culmination of what God has done in all our lives through his grace, his mercy, his holiness, his discipline. Okay? And then from there, we follow God. I want you to notice verse 17. It says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. I like that. Here's why I like that. Because we, even in the church, look for shortcuts to maturity. God did this for a couple of reasons. The first reason was if he led the Israelites along the shorter route, there would have been Egyptian military posts that would have engaged the Hebrews, and they were so vulnerable at that point. If they were in a prolonged fight, they might just say, "We want to go back to Egypt. We want to go back to slavery." So God had to take them on a different route, a longer route, in order to develop their character, their faith, and we know the ups and downs of even that route, and we'll go into that in the following weeks. And then he says, "For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph," which was a promise that was made to Joseph, "with him, because Joseph had made Israel swear an oath. And he had said, 'God will surely come to your aid, and then carry my, and then you must carry my bones from this place.' After leaving Succoth, they encamped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so they can travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of night left its place in front of the people." In other words, God was going to provide his guidance for his people as long as they followed the cloud by day and the light by night. And also protection, which is what it did also. And here's the thing. We're to remember, we need to be reminded of God's promises, repent of sin, confess it, celebrate who God is and what he has done, worship, and be re-energized to leave and do what? Follow God. Some of you are going to be at the nursing home. Hopefully, you'll follow God and minister to people who need the same thing. And you know that when you go off and you follow God, the enemy is not going to be happy. True? It wasn't long after this that Pharaoh sent his army to get his labor, free labor back. And here's the army hot on the tail of the Israelites. The Red Sea is in front of them. We're going to talk about that next week. But listen, when we step out in faith and we follow God, the enemy is going to attack. Not only is the enemy going to attack because he wants to sideline us, because he doesn't want us to be effective for the Lord Jesus Christ, but we'll do our own stuff to screw it up, if I could put it that way. And if we're not careful, what we will do then is fall back, almost like the Hebrews, and say, "I want to go back to Egypt." That's not what God calls us to do. Follow him, trust him. And when we feel like we're getting beat up, you can put up the next word. Know that as we're faithful, we glorify God. And then when we get beat up and we sense ourselves running out of gas, you know what we have to do? Stop and what? Remember. So what I did is I kind of put this in a chart for you. If this helps you, it's fine. We start with remembering and celebrate. Worship, follow God, glorify God in everything we do. And when we feel beat up, we stop and we remember. You realize God gives this to us for our benefit. And you may realize that this seems to be the pattern that God has set up for Sabbath also. You know what Sabbath is? Sabbath is the day of rest, the day where we're supposed to come apart from our normal work. And part of the Sabbath should be taking time to what? Remember. coming to the Word of God, repenting, confessing, receiving forgiveness, celebrating, worshiping, leaving and following God, glorifying Him in everything we do. But you know, Monday comes around quick. And I guarantee you, on Monday, you're going to have some time to remember. I want to suggest to you that this is a cycle for every day. And you'll be surprised on how God can work in each of our lives if we just stop and remember His goodness, His grace, His character, and who He is. A lot of people get very busy these days. I want to suggest to you this. If you're in the habit of keeping a calendar and you make appointments and all, it might be good to schedule time during the course of a day where you can do this. I don't care if it's 10 minutes. It'll make a world of difference. There are people who are busy without a calendar. And the reason why I laugh is because you may be able to discipline yourself to be productive without a calendar, and that's good if you can do that. But even without a calendar, you have to make time to do this. One of the things that you might remember is an old hymn. I didn't think of it until now. But the old hymn called Count Your Blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings and see what? What God has done. Instead, I fear that sometimes we're thinking about what's for lunch. Or we're thinking about what the elections are going to hold in 2016. Or we're thinking about who cut us off on the road or who wronged us. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be concerned about those things. What I'm saying is this, there's a time and a place to remember. The question is, will you build this into your schedule? Will I build it into my schedule? Do you realize that today they're talking about thunderstorms? Later on tonight, if the sun is out, you might see another symbol called a rainbow. Remember what the rainbow signified? God's promise that He would never flood the earth again in a judgment, right? Some of you could enjoy cloud watching. You ever do that? Cloud watching? Right? You see some of the puffy cumulus clouds that are around this time of year, and you sit there just imagining different things. Man, that should remind us of God's fingerprint in creation. And I can go on and on. But we have a great God. We have a God who is so great that there's many symbols around us and many symbols that we can relate to remind us how great and awesome He is. And as we are reminded of that, then we can go out with the promises of God, with the strength of God, with the Holy Spirit guiding us. We can go out and glorify God in everything we do, so that, as Bill said before, people can see Jesus in us. And when we feel beat up, we come to God who never leaves us or forsakes us, and we sit and we remember. I'm going to ask the praise team to come up.